Hello, everybody. This is Katie Lear, your convention host. Welcome to Self-Publishing. Before we get started, I would like to express our thanks to ACB Media for giving us our Zoom rooms to do this convention. Our room opener is Cecily, and she's also our monitor. Our host this afternoon is Natalie, and John is in the room monitoring our Zoom board. So let me introduce to you Chantel Williams, a.k.a. Chantel Napier, and she is going to talk with us this afternoon about self-publishing. Go for it, Chantel. She's laughing.
Thank you. As Katie said, my name is Chantel Napier. That is my real identity. And so now I'm going to take that off and put on my Lynn Chantel hat. As Lynn Chantel, I am a working author of romantic suspense, mystery, thrillers, paranormal, fiction. And I have been writing pretty much all of my life, and I've only been published, I want to say the last, I always have to count, 12 to 15 years. And my publishing journey started when my partner said either stop writing or get to publishing. So I wasn't going to stop writing. So I started looking at how to get published. And this was in the late 90s. So there wasn't a whole lot of internet traffic as to, you know, I couldn't just Google, you know, how to submit a manuscript. And I think it was a writer's magazine that my dad gave me for Christmas where I found an advertisement for a self-publishing company. And I went that route for self-publishing. I still had no idea what I was doing. And I thought the manuscript I had was absolutely perfect. It didn't need any editing. I had my cover. And I had takers, and then the first few people said, oh, you got a bunch of typos in here. And I was like, okay, this isn't quite what I want. And so when I started looking for a publisher, you have to adhere to their guidelines. That's the nice thing about self-publishing. You don't have to be put into a box. You can format your work the way that you want to, but how do you get your manuscript from a Word document on your computer to where everybody can read it? I use Amazon, what they call KDB or Kindle Direct Publishing. And I also use Draft to Digital is new. It's a newer platform that is made by authors for authors. And I actually prefer that over Kindle Direct Publishing just because it's easier to navigate. Both of them will do the same thing. They will ask you for a title. They will ask you for your author name. If you're using a pen name, it will also ask you if you want to add any additional contributors. It will ask you for a publisher. It will ask you for keywords. And those are the words or phrases that you want people to search for your book. So for me, since I write romance, I use keywords like multiracial, interracial, multicultural, mystery, thriller, suspense. So things that are going to help your manuscript or your book stand out. Those keywords. And also, a blurb is that little back of the book, that little back of the book information. And that one, I try to change from the description that I actually put on the website to what's different on the back of my printed books. So when you do use Amazon or Draft to Digital, it gives you the option now. You can go through as an ebook, as a print book, paperback or a hardcover. And now Amazon is actually giving you the option to use their, they've got a new service where you can do audiobooks with AI. Draft to Digital has the same thing, but they have narrators and they use Findaway Voices. I believe that's the option they use. So if you want to do all of this yourself, you can. But to make sure that you have a fantastic product, I always stress getting an editor. That's not your sending it through, not just through your computer. So don't just send it through that. You actually need someone to put their eyes on it to make sure that your 2TO and your 2TOO and your 2TWO are used correctly. Because a lot of times your spell check won't catch those. And often it doesn't catch awkward phrasing or missed punctuation. So having that second pair of eyes helps. And if you're wondering where you can find an editor, I've put together a handout that I have. I have some limited copies in large print here, or I can send you a PDF. If you send me an email at lynn@thehouseoflynn.com. So that's Lynn, L-Y-N-N, @thehouseoflynn.com. And just put handout in the subject line and I'll know what you're talking about. I also have a, list of editors. I also have a list of cover artists. And cover artist. I have a sample of a blurb, which gives a short description of what your book is about. Because you will need that. That helps to draw the reader in. And if you want to go the traditional publishing route, I have two samples of query letters in the packet as well. So I'm going to stop right there. And if anybody has any questions so far, please ask.
Hi, Dave. My name is Courtney. I was wondering, what is a query letter?
We do have a question on Zoom.
Okay. Hold on.
1 second.
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Courtney asked here in the room, what is a query letter? A query letter is what you submit to a publisher to ask if they would like to read your book. It's typically the first three chapters, whether or not the manuscript is finished or if it's partially finished. It gives some information about you, the author, gives a word count and contact information. Yeah, and you can typically use those for either a publisher or an agent. But you do not need an agent to get published. And what was the question on Zoom?
All right, so Annette, you can go ahead and unmute.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. Chantel, my question is, have you attempted to have your books put into Braille? It's a several-part question. And if you have, who did you use? And then the last part, did you have to have it published first before it was put into Braille?
No, that's something I have not looked into yet. So I don't have any of my books in Braille as of yet. I'm still working on trying to get them into Bard. But that's a good one. I'm going to have to look into that and see what it takes to do that.
Okay, great. What I have found is that for NLS to do it, you have to have it published first, and then it goes on the list. And if you just do it straight for paying for it,
can be $5 a book, like an actual book in your hand. So that's out of reach. But there's Seedlings, so you might look into Seedlings as well.
Okay, thank you, Annette. And with self-publishing, keep in mind that you bear all of the costs. When I started out self-publishing, so this was after I had a few books under my belt and I actually knew what was going on in the publishing industry, I found some really good editors and that were economical. So they didn't break the bank, because back then it was like, hey, I'm trying to sell books and I don't have a lot of money to spend. So this, yeah, it can be expensive. There was one author I know of who spent $1,500 on editing and her book still had a lot of typos. And, she sold over, like $250,000 worth of her book. So, hey, she could do that. You know, I've spent $50 on my editor and she did a great job. So, there weren't as many typos as the $1,500 editor. You can also find cover artists, and you always want, if you're not able to find, or if you are graphically inclined, I'll say, you can create your own covers on Amazon. They have the templates, they have stock art that you can use. You can play around with the different fonts and sizes and colors, and it's pretty cool. It's when I had more vision, I actually created a couple of covers using that option, and that is totally free. So uploading your manuscript is free. Getting an ISBN, because that is your book number that goes all over the world so that retailers know what book this is. And that is free, but I think there is a version where you can, if you check it, there is a fee, but I'm not quite sure how much that fee is anymore. Cover art. If you want, you can also take part in Amazon's editing. They do offer editing services. They also offer cover art services. They offer marketing services, and those are all paid services. So if you want to do it yourself, just remember it's going to cost you, and make sure that you're getting someone reputable out there. And all the people that are on my list are reputable. If I haven't used them, there is someone I know personally that has used and recommended them. So I'm not giving you anybody that's going to take your money. They're going to work with you and they're going to treat you right. But cover art can run you anything from $5 all the way up to thousands of dollars, depending on what you want. My average cover, which gets me ebook format, the paperback format, and my cover artist is really cool, so she does the formatting for me as well. And that usually runs me about $250. And those are all custom covers. So she does everything from scratch. You can get pre-made covers somewhere between $25 and $75. So it's not... Okay, and there are, for the editors, because we've talked about them a lot, you have your, just tell you the different types of editors, because I didn't know this going in, and depending on where you are in the process, it can be good to have. Different types of editors. You have your content or developmental editor, which will help you either plot out your story, excuse me, and make sure that your structure, your pacing, and all of that flows correctly. A copy editor can also do the same thing. Then you have your line editor. This is after you've already gotten all of the hiccups out of your manuscript, and it's the next to the last steps before you're ready to get it published. So a line editor is exactly what it sounds like. That editor literally goes through sentence by sentence, line by line, to make sure punctuation, grammar, and sentence structure is good. And then your proof editor, that is the last step, and they catch any straggling typos that may happen. And when you do find an editor, the first thing they'll ask you to do is submit a sample to them so that they can see what they're working with, and then that way you also get a feel for how they work and whether or not the two of you can work together. Because sometimes it might not be a good fit. And I've had editors like that where, one of my Baker's Touch, she kept saying certain things were weird. Or because in Baker's Touch, the heroine in that story, she's blind, so, and all she has is a very little light perception. So when the hero comes in and he flicks on the light, she sees that momentary flash of light, and then it goes back to dim. And and the editor's comment was, "See, she can see." And or why is she touching this? That's, you know, so it was, yeah, that type of thing. But so that way you can, I have been blessed. I've had some really, really good editors. And you can also take advantage of critique partners. Those are people who know a little bit. They can let you know if something works. They're just readers that enjoy the genre. So whether it's fiction or nonfiction, I highly recommend that your critique partners, because they can be brutally honest. And I had two lovely ladies who were that. So when I got my editor, I was like, oh, this is a piece of cake. Okay. I was like, I was expecting the editor to be a lot harsher than what they were, but no, my critique partners, they kept me honest and they said, hey, this isn't working. You need to fix this. And I was like, okay, well, how is this? Let's see. Oh, yeah. I would say make sure you have a good title for your book. Trying to think of a story. The first book that I self-published through that one self-publisher that I failed at, I titled my book Dark Night. And had I done a little bit more research, I'd have realized that was Batman and could have used something a little catchier. And now there's a whole bunch of dark titles going on. So I have a book called, that was titled Command Me. And I did an Amazon search to see what other titles were out there with that name. And you can do the same for your title. And there was quite a few with that in the title. So I changed mine to His to Command. So I still have the command in there, but now it's going to stand out when someone goes to search for it. So they're not going to get 12 titles with Command Me in it. So make sure you have a catchy title. And also have, usually I try to put a slogan or a tagline in underneath or before you go to read the blurb. So in my VIBE series, which stands for Visually Impaired Blind Entrepreneurs, one of the taglines is blind does not mean helpless. Amen. Amen. So, and you know, I've used my dad as an inspiration. He is a semi-pro wrestler. My dad is 70 some years old and he's blind. So he has his character Father Time is featured in my VIBE series. Because I wanted to show that there were different spectrums. You know, not everybody is total. And, you know, some just need glasses. So you have the whole gambit that I've tried to portray in the series. And I think I did okay. But are there any questions while I drink my water?
This is Courtney again. I had a question regarding your editing process. So which software do you prefer to use when you give your manuscript to the editor and then they add comments to it that allows you to really access those comments and understand which portion of text they're editing or referring to or have changed?
Okay. I have a Mac. Yes.
Chantel, can you repeat the questions? Because people on Zoom cannot hear what our wonderful participants in here are asking.
Okay, sorry about that. She asked me what software I use when I send my manuscript over to an editor so that they can read and give comments and changes. I have a Mac, so I use Pages, which would be the same as Microsoft Word. So a lot of the commands are the same. You're still going to use track changes in that. What I found that works best for me is to have the editor place the comments in a separate document, and it will still have all of the changes that she's done, whether it's correcting something because I have awkward phrasing, or if my sentence is too wordy, if I'm used a cliche, if she's changed a semicolon for a period, all of that is there. So typically when it's punctuation, I just go through and accept all changes and look at the comments and address those comments. because other than that, my computer will just read, you know, X for S, and it'll keep going, and that drives me crazy. And I have heard that some do use Google Docs, and I haven't quite mastered that yet. So for those that use that, bless you. Mm-hmm. Oh, there is a software. There's actually a couple of them that if you just want like a quick basic check, just to make sure that you've got all your sentences and your periods and your apostrophes and commas in the correct place, you can use Grammarly. They have a free version and they have a paid subscription that you can use. And it's pretty neat. It'll even tell you why the comma should go there. Were there any questions on Zoom?
We do not.
Okay.
No.
This is Courtney again. I have another question.
Okay.
You know what? Do you prefer to dictate as you're writing, or do you typically type? I know it might be preference, but I was just curious.
Her question was, do I prefer to dictate or do I prefer to type? I prefer to type. There's something about hearing my voice as I'm dictating a scene that just, I don't know, I can't do it. But I do know some who do use dictation, and one of those softwares was Dragon.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I prefer to type. I used to write longhand and then transcribe everything, you know, typing, but now I just type, and I think this works better because it's actually reading to me as I type, so I've actually caught a lot more typos, and when I go back to self-edit for that first time, I have to figure out what it was I meant to write. When I put like J-Y-D-A, I'm going, okay, what was that? So, okay, so we've got our title, we've got our blurb going, we've got our keywords that we've put in, we've got our cover uploaded, we've checked the box for the ISBN, now you got to figure out where you want to sell your book, and you can sell it worldwide, or you can just, which they call wide, going wide, or you can just keep it just for yourself, or even just one retailer. You have that option in doing that. And then you have to pick a price. How much are you going to sell your book for? And the nice thing about both the platforms, Amazon and Draft2Digital, they will calculate the money, the exchange, the currency exchange for you. So you don't have to do that. You just put in your, I'm just going to use $2.99 for ebook, and they'll adjust the price across the board, or whether it's $9.99 for a print book, they'll adjust that price. So just usually the higher the price that you set, the higher the royalty that you'll receive. Yeah, so once you've got all that together and you hit submit on the screen, and you'll get a little box that says, for Amazon, it says, our lovely people, this isn't exact wording, but our lovely people are going to check your manuscript to make sure everything is in order, and it should be live in 72 hours, within 72 hours. So if you have any errors, they will email you to let you know what you need to fix. For Draft2Digital, it is almost instantaneous. I've usually had a book go up in about 24 hours to everywhere. And you have that. What's really cool is that with Draft to Digital, because it makes it really easy if you want to put your books on sale, you don't have to go through this whole section that Amazon does, or if you want to put your books at, you know, for free for, say, 3 days. You can just go in on Draft to Digital, say you're setting up promotion, change your prices to zero that you want it set for free, bam, it's done. Just like that. Where Amazon, it's a little more challenging. You have to follow their thing. You've got to put in like the ISBN. You've got to put in their ASIN on there to let them know what you're doing. When do you want this process to start? So make sure you start this, you know, 3 or 4 days or a week before, because it's going to take about 72 hours for Amazon to get that together. And then now your book is up and out there. You can get them printed, and both of them, I've had both platforms print my books. And let's see, I'm going to send some around so you guys can check them out. Okay.
So yeah, what can you just pretend?
Thank you. I like to use glossy for my covers because I like shiny. And yes. And also too, I mean, they give you that option. I forgot. You can select the type of cover, whether you want glossy or matte, and the type of paper, whether you want cream or white, and if you just want regular black and white. Also, the size of the book, I think that's 5x8. And they do have smaller and they have large. I also have some books that are 6x9. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a real book. It's a real book, and yeah, you can get them.
Chantel, do you mind if I have my friend describe to them what's on the front of this book?
Oh, sure.
You want to grab a mic?
Now these are all steamy. Yeah, covers, so
Well, what I mean is, like, she can just talk about, like, you know, she
wants to. Someone bring my phone, please.
Hold on, 1 second. You know, just kind of tell me there's two people on the board, or blah, blah, blah. You don't have to. Okay, descriptive. Yeah. Okay. And she wants to bring my phone. Yes.
Okay, His True Protectors. It has a male figure on the cover looking suave. Okay. His True Love has a female in the middle with two males looking very intimate. And the same one, too, it's just True Family Ties. It's just a little bit, you know, just a female, just she's in the middle, but she changes her posture. Is that good?
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
But steamy looking. There you go.
And see, and I forgot what a couple of those covers look like, but I just remember they're steamy. Yeah. So these were the His True Love that she was talking about. Those are all custom made for me. And I forgot, Draft 2 Digital does offer cover art now. You can go in the same way as you can on Amazon, and you can create your own covers on Draft 2 Digital. I just found that out recently. And another nice thing I can say about Draft to Digital is that you can have coupons made for your books. So if you want to offer something special, or you can do that. I can say, let's see, just to make sure. I know that my books through my publisher, which is the Vibe series, right now they have 25% off site-wide, and I have a 20% coupon for the books, and audio is also available through my publisher's website. So that coupon, I'm going to give you that coupon code. It's Chantale, Chantale 20. So the number 20. So Chantale 20. And I think you can apply that so you can get the 25% and the 20%. I know, right? Other than that, like the audio book through them is $10. And just in case you missed it, I do have handouts in large print, or I can email you a copy if you send me an email to Lynn, LYNN, at thehouseoflynn.com. So in the handout, the editors that I have listed, just so you know, Dr. Jen Paquette, she does do nonfiction as well as fiction, and I believe a couple of the other editors do as well. I have either their website or their Facebook page on there, and they're all hyperlinks. I also have the cover artists that were recommended to me, as well as the two that I typically use, which is Covers in Color and Rebecca from Dreams to Digital. Oh, Dreams to Media. Oh my goodness. I can't believe I did that. I've been working with her for years. She's done my logo, and she's done quite a few of my book covers, and she's amazing. She also does pre-made covers, as do many of the other cover artists. So if there's just something you want really quick, there you go.
Chantale, this is Katie. I have a question. What procedure did you have to go through to get someone to do the audio portion of your book?
For the audio portion, that was a narrator. I had to pick which narrator I wanted. They sent me samples of them reading and their voices. So that's how I did that. Same thing. With Findaway Voices, they can pair you with a narrator.
Was that an expensive process? Did you have to pay the narrators to read the book?
And depending on what you want and how long your book is, one of them was $250. So I didn't think that was too bad for... So it will, if you type in what it is that you want, and this was in Findaway Voices, what type of narrator, if cost is a factor for you, they'll have some options. They can have things like the narrator can split the cost of production with you, because it can go up from there. Or if you know someone who has a really great voice and they've got a recording studio. I've been trying to talk my son into recording a couple of my books for me, because he would do readings for me when I would have live events. And I will also say, you know, when you're self-publishing, make sure that you learn as much as you can. I know things have changed a lot from when I started. There was lots of Yahoo groups and Google groups where you could just pop in and ask a bunch of questions. One of the publishers I have, Four Horsemen, that's my publisher, Four Horsemen Publishing. They have a blog that they give information on publishing so that, you know, you can be in the know. And also there are some chat groups. So if you are somewhat tech savvy and you don't mind social media, there are plenty of groups out there that you can get involved with. Also check your library, because sometimes they'll have writing groups. And then of course you can always email me and I'll be happy to answer any questions for you. So that's about all I have. Unless you want to hear about promotion. This was something I learned early on, and this was from one of those best-selling authors from Simon & Schuster. And she said, unless you are a big name like James Patterson, Nora Roberts, Christine Feehan, that you are always going to have to promote and advertise your book, because that the advertising dollars that they have goes to keeping their big names. Yeah, so you're going to have to do a lot of promotion for your book when you self-publish. And there are lots of ways to do that. There's Facebook ads. There's Book Talk on TikTok. They also have Amazon ads. There's Google ads. So, you know, I always try to take advantage of free stuff. If you are on Facebook, your cover, what is that thing? Your banner can be a promotion tool. So if you change that, you know, say on a weekly basis, or your profile picture, then everyone that is in your friend circle gets to know that, hey, Lynn Chantel just changed her profile picture, or she changed her cover page. Let's go see what it is. And then you have a mock-up of a new book or a new cover or something to that effect. And it didn't cost you anything but a little bit of time. Any other questions? All righty. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chantel. Maybe I'll think about being an author someday, and I will call you for advice. Although I think I could write a steamy book pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I'll be happy to help.
Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thank you again.